Go give yourself a round of applause. It's a beautiful crowd. I really love the diversity in here. You know, one of the things that I've heard from Pastor Scott Hagen, and me and Dean talked about it as well, the most effective church is a multi-generational church. And that's what I see in here. I see millennials. I see youth. I see seasoned age people. My pastor said, don't call us old. So I've learned. But you guys have the recipe to really make some significant difference in our city, in our region. Amen. So I am excited to pour into you. I believe that this message will bless you. And let's wave again to Pastor Dean and Amy. Thank you guys so much for having me out here. Love you. Pastor Dean, love his heart. And shout out to Pastor Darnisha. Did I say that right? Yes. She did an amazing job as well in worship. Me and David was talking about, you can always tell when the Spirit hit. It just a little extra something hops on worship. So thank you for leading us and the team into that experience. So if you guys don't mind, can I open us up in prayer and get right into it? How many of you guys hungry for the word? Hey, come on. I was a little sleepy last service, so I'm up now. No, I'm just playing. Father, I just thank you and I praise you. Father, thank you for this opportunity to speak into the real life family. Father, I thank you that you are going to do some amazing things in this service. I just pray that you give us eyes to see and ears to hear and give us a heart to receive your word, that incorruptible word that is able to save us, Father. We just thank you, Lord, that you would use me. I decrease and ask that you increase in me. Help me to speak with simplicity, clarity. I ask that you would allow me to articulate myself, not with just eloquence, but allow me to be effective as well. We come against every satanic, diabolical assignment, every hindering spirit that will try to stop the word of God from going forth or in the people's life at Real Life Church. In Jesus' name, we all say amen. Praise the Lord. Well, if you have your Bibles or your device, or if you don't have neither or either, you can look on the screen. I would like to open up with Isaiah 42 and 9. And the scripture says, behold, everyone say, behold, pay attention. The former things have come to pass and new. Everyone say new. New things I declare before they spring forth, I tell you of them. And the title of my message is called Resurrecting Your Relationship with Your Destiny. And I believe the only way you can resurrect your relationship with your destiny is allowing the Lord to do something new in your life. Amen? Because new is connected to seasons, and we need seasons after seasons to get us with the proper nutrients and ingredients we need for destiny. Amen? And as I shared with the last service, destiny is not always easy because destiny requires you to evolve as a person. It requires you to change. It requires you to shift. And change can be hard because that means that we have to give up some things that we may do well, but it's not what God wants us to do anymore. Oh, Jesus. Amen. Just because you do it well doesn't mean that God is calling you to do it in this season. God is doing a new thing at Real Life. He's doing a new thing in our city. He's doing a new thing in our region. But check it out. He's looking for new wineskins to pour his new into. So if we haven't adjusted out of the old wineskin mentality, we're praying for new and he's doing new. It's just you don't have the capacity to receive it. Amen. So what I want to talk about is how do we become new wineskins so we can be in position to resurrect our relationship with destiny? Because destiny is an ongoing pursuit. It's not something you arrive at. It's progressive. We pursue destiny until we die or until Jesus comes. But the thing about destiny is if it was easy, everyone would be doing it. And sometimes the substitute for destiny is just success. Because you can be successful just on principles, but it takes the presence of God to have destiny. So you can be successful in the world because you have the principles of God, but that's what the world often has. They have the principles of God, but they don't want our God. So therefore, they have success, but they don't have destiny. And that's how you can be depressed with success, because depression is alleviated when you got the presence of God. Amen? So we got to make sure that we do not get allured to just success. I believe that if you have destiny, success will come. But oftentimes, character comes first, then destiny, then success. But sometimes the world offers success without character. And the very thing that we obtain, we lose and we self-destruct because our character couldn't help us keep it. So I want us to really be open-minded and examine and evaluate our personal lives where we have become rigid and traditional. And I'm not speaking to a particular age group because you can be young and become closed-minded. My parents can tell you that right now. I didn't listen to nothing they said growing up. Do you know God's wisdom is actually in listening to your parents? Oh, my gosh. Almost 80% of what they told me to do, I end up doing it, and I found out it was God telling them to do it, or tell me to do it, and I wish I would have listened. So we have to be open to hearing God's voice from people that we may not want to hear from sometimes. Oftentimes, when God speaks to us, we want it to sound a certain way, we want it to be packaged a certain way, we want it to look a certain way, but sometimes God will speak through a parent, he will speak through a correction, he will speak through a rebuke, he will speak to through someone that you didn't think it would have come through, but if you have this old wineskin mentality, you'll be missing how God is pouring new wine. Because God pours through relationships, he pours through individuals, so we have to be open to it. Check this out, the reason why new, everyone say new. Say it like you mean it. Say new. The reason why new can be hard because of the conflict between the you are now and the you that your destiny awaits you to become. I'm going to say that again. New can be hard because of the conflict between the you that you are now and the you your destiny awaits you to become. Meaning two lives can't exist in one body. Either the life of Christ will exist in me or my own life, which will bring me to a place to where I don't want to be. So destiny is hard because destiny can only be required through Jesus. Success can be required through anything, principles again. So to get to destiny, God often requires us to be a version of us that we feel like we're not ready to become. Y'all got quiet on that one because some of y'all still want to be the same. Check this out. Luke chapter 5, verse 36 through 39. It talks about new wineskins and how they get poured, or new wine and how they get poured into new wineskins. It says, then he spoke a parable. This is Jesus speaking a parable. No one puts a piece from a new garment on an old one. Otherwise, the new makes a tear. And also, the piece that was taken out of the new does not match the old. Next one. No one puts new wine into old wineskins. No one puts, or God doesn't pour new things in tradition. God can't pour a new mindset if you want to keep on to the old mindset. God can't give you new strategies in your marriage unless you know how to forgive. Amen. And you know one thing, how many of you guys married in here? Okay, clap. Man, are y'all happy, Mary? Come on, say so. Check this out. I realize that if you focus on God in your marriage and you properly place your hope and expectation, anger won't exist that much in your marriage. Because oftentimes the number one cause of anger is unfulfilled expectations. And when we get our expectations unfulfilled, it often leads to doubt, then it leads to disillusionment, then it leads to depression. But sometimes if you get to the place where you don't grieve your unfulfilled expectation and place Christ at your expectation and don't make you got to make the confession that God, I expect you to meet all my needs through my spouse. But if you don't place God at the top and you expect your spouse to meet all your needs, you're going to be angry all the time because you misplaced your expectation more on them as opposed to a God using them. I just saved somebody years of counseling. So we get eaten. Here it is. Destiny people can't be easily angered. Now, we can have anger and sin not, but check this out. If you're easily angered, you're easily offended. And if you're easily offended, you're easily taken off course to purpose and destiny. So we got to check our anger and be angry and don't mute it, manage it, and show and allow the Lord to show you how to communicate it, how to express it in godly ways so that it doesn't rest on you. Because the Bible says anger rests in the bosoms of fools, and fools cannot make it to destiny. So we got to be careful. Let's continue to read. Who's that good-looking guy up there? I'm just playing. The new wine will be burst, the wineskins, and be spilled, and the wineskins will be ruined. Next verse. But new wine must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved. God's revelation and you as an individual are preserved. Check this out. God is giving us insight about what he wants us to do in this world. So which means there's something God wants done that he's already finished, but he created you and I to start it. Oh, Jesus. Let me say that again. There's something God has already done, right? But he created you to start it. So when I'm living for God, I'm not trying to make something happen. I'm receiving what already happened, and I'm being that wineskin and manifest what already happened, because I'm not making anything happen. I'm receiving what Jesus already made happen. So in me being able to receive that revelation, God's wisdom, his insight, his strategy for my life is preserved, and I'm preserved in the process. Amen? This is called the finished works of Jesus Christ. We don't perform our way through it. We don't work our way through it. We believe and surrender our way through it. Amen. And if you believe it, then you should have corresponding actions that align up with it. Amen. If you believe, then your actions and your lifestyle and your decisions should line up with what you believe. So keep going. Put it back up there for me. Having drunk old wine immediately says, go back to the last verse. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst the wineskins and be spilled, and the wineskins will be ruined. Next one. This is the part that I want you guys to pay attention to. Everyone say, but new wine. Say, but new wine must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved, and no one having drunk, check this out, the old way of doing things immediately desires new. For he or she says the old is better. So we have an inclination, a proclivity to stay stuck in what we're used to, because what we're used to always seems better than what God is calling us to. And this is why change is so hard, because as humanity, we get comfortable, we get settled. But I think it was Dr. Martin Luther King that said the ultimate measure of a man or woman is not where he stands in comfort and inconvenience. It's where he stands in controversy and challenge. And you are the real you in adversity. The real you is not when everything is going well. The real you is when you are angered, and how do you behave? It's when you are challenged, how do you respond? Because what is eternal shall rule what is temporal. And we should never let that what is outside of us dictate the power that lives in us. Because if we got the power that lives in us, we can start speaking to what's around us. But if you don't allow yourself to be a new wineskin for the Lord to reveal that Christ is in you, the hope of glory, you'll keep being subjected to your depression, to your despair, to your circumstance. And God doesn't want that for his believers. God does not want that for us. So when we do not become new wineskins, we stay in the wilderness of our struggles. We stay in the wilderness of our struggles. We stay stagnant. We stay desolate. We stay suspended. And what should have been a 12-day journey for the children of Israel, it was 40 years. And what I shared with the last service is the wilderness is never designed to defeat you. The wilderness was designed to develop you. So until you take that new wineskin mentality, you're going to stay the victim. And I've never seen a victim walk in victory. It takes a victorious mindset to say, although I am a victim to a circumstance, I choose not to stay a victim. And therefore, I can step out of what is trying to make me stay a victim. So God often blesses humanity according to how they handle pressure, how they handle seasons, how they handle cycles. Scripture says if you faint in the day of adversity, your faith was small. So the test to your spiritual maturity, check this out, is not in how much you know. Tell your neighbor that. Somebody's like, dang, all them degrees don't matter. Spiritual maturity is not based on age. Spiritual maturity is not based on information. spiritual maturity is based on obedience. It's based on how you respond in adversity. So if you don't know how to respond in adversity, you can be 60 years old still acting like a 10-year-old in adversity, breaking things, being mad, causing temper tantrums. But when you are a mature person of the Lord, you walk in obedience. You respond with adversity that my God is greater and bigger than this circumstance, and greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And we don't move cycles along or seasons along because of age, because of days, because of weeks, because of months and years. Seasons change based on willingness and obedience. See, in the world's ecosystems, seasons change: winter, spring, summer, fall. In God's ecosystem, obedience, 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 obedience. That's how you switch and shift out of seasons. And when we don't shift out of seasons, when I don't learn how to be a single so I can be healthily married, and I do not do my singleness stage properly, and then I get married, and then adultery happens, that's because you weren't obedient in your single season. Amen? So the obedience that I yield to in this season helps me stay rooted in this season. So each season is strategically there to align you and give you the nutrients and the ingredients you need to keep you wherever God has taken you. Amen. So if you are single right now, don't seek to be married. You can desire it, but seek to pursue God. Because I have never saw anyone who sought God that God didn't assist them in seeking a mate. See, I never looked for a spouse. I never begged for one. I wasn't thirsty for one. All I did was seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, his way of doing things, and everything else came to pass. I was so busy serving God, God had to interrupt me and show me Stacy. Can God interrupt you because you are busy seeking him? But does God have to stop you because you're busy seeking someone else? So whatever season that you're in, manage it, steward it, and own it. And let God bring you out of that season. Amen? So a word that we must learn when we want to resurrect our relationship to destiny, this word is called transition. Everyone say transition. Transition is tough because it requires you to be vulnerable all over again. It requires you to be uncomfortable all over again. See, if you were used to this platform, transition causes you, and then you master this platform, transition may require you to now be the bottom of another platform where you were on the top. Because he never wants you to get comfortable, or we can never figure God out. The revelation of God is always evolving. Like we will never know all of God until we make it to heaven. And even if we make it to heaven, we still won't know all of him. Because he is the eternal God. And the revelation of who he is and his goodness and his love is eternal. So that's why it takes eternity to figure it all out. So say transition. So in Luke 5:36-39, as I just read, the body of Christ, Christianity, was in transition. They had to leave the way of Judaism because new covenant was coming of what we see, the new wine, the day of Pentecost. So the dispensation of grace was taking place. But a lot of people couldn't receive Jesus because Jesus wasn't packaged how they pictured him in his mind. They thought he was going to strong arm the culture. They thought he was going to come in like Samson or somebody. But Jesus came meek. He came very humble. And here it is. Just because you're not the loudest person in the room don't mean that you're not the most powerful person in the room. Because I've seen loud people who weren't that powerful. And I've seen quiet people who were powerful. And I'm not saying if you're loud, you're not powerful. But what I'm saying is sometimes our depiction and what we think power is, God will show us another version of it. Amen. So if we're feeling stuck, if we're feeling stagnant, if we're feeling like we're in a desolate place, repeated cycles. You're in your third marriage. You're on your fourth business. The third child is ended up like the first or second child. Could it be? Can I propose to you that you might need some new wine? You might need a new wineskin so God can pour the new wine. And it's not that God wasn't pouring the new wine. You just wasn't receiving the new wine. You could be so focused how he did it that you're missing out how he's doing it. Amen? And this can be a dangerous thing. This is why the first step that we need to take in becoming a vessel of new wine, number one, is you have to start being committed to your devotional time. You have to be committed to your devotional time. As I shared in last service, we are only as healthy, say that with me, I am only as healthy and deep as my daily devotion. You don't need what you were healthy yesterday and bring that in today. You need constant revelation of what healthiness looks like. Amen. As I got older, I began to learn to eat differently. I began to respond differently. Health is a process. You never arrive at, I'm healthy and I don't need to learn anymore about being healthy. So when it comes to our devotion, we have to understand we do not live for the platform of many. We live for the audience of one, Jesus Christ. This is why devotion is so important, because I'm living from the audience of one. And if Jesus is the most important person in my life, then devotion should be the most important thing I do in life, because it's in how well I do my devotion, everything else falls into place. I cannot give what I don't have. And if I don't pour into myself, my outtake will be my downfall, because I have to constantly pour in, because if I can't keep up what I'm giving out, then I'll be giving broken pieces of myself away that I cannot afford to give. And I believe some of us have been giving broken things that we have within and giving it to people, giving people our time, giving our hearts. Our hearts are not even properly healed, and we're still giving it away. You haven't allowed the Lord to redeem your virtue back, and you're still giving it away. You have to go through a season of being healed so that you do not give something that's still broken and expect wholeness. Oh, Jesus. We can't expect wholeness if we're not giving wholeness. So God is calling us to a place of wholeness. God says, be holy for I am holy. And he also said, without holiness, no one will see me. So when we start choosing mates, making decisions from a place that is not whole, we're making a decision from a place of our soul level versus our spiritual level. It's in our spirit is where truth exists and lies. And when our spirit is in alignment with God, it now tells our soul, our mind, will, and emotion a testament of what lives in their spirit. And then when our soul has it, now we tell our bodies what to do. Some of us keep slipping into sexual relationships and challenges. That means it's not that you're not saved. It's not that you don't have truth. You just have to renew your soul to what the Word of God says. And when you renew your mind to what the Word of God says, your body will follow. That's what the whole redemption process was about. That which was once in place, Adam and Eve, before they sinned, taken out of place, they sinned in the garden. Jesus came and put it right back in place. Redemption is about that which was once in place, taken out of place, God put it back in place. And that putting back in place is not necessarily a physical place, it's a spiritual place, meaning we are seated in heavenly places and we have access to God of the universe, and we have dominion over every spiritual principle and demonic realm. So what comes against us cannot control what's in us. So that means what's in us should be controlling what's around us. So if circumstances is controlling you, if environments is controlling you, that means that what's in you is not as strong as you thought it was. Psalms 1 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law meditates day and night, and he or she shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Say planted. Meaning I can't grow unless I am planted somewhere, which means I can't keep church hopping expecting God to do something. Some of us church hop because we think we might find our spouse at one of the churches. Well, I didn't see him there, so let me try this church. But we got to be planted, rooted. And let me just tell you something. You're not going to always agree with your church. You're not going to always agree with your leadership. But if you can agree that Christ, the hope of glory, lives in you, if you can believe on the essentials, then could it be that God can use the conflict to actually show you how to develop in the fruits of the Spirit? Because fruits of the Spirit is not developed in perfection. Fruits of the Spirit is developed in agitation. So you might be a little disgruntled, but God can be using this season to teach you how to be more humble, to teach you how to be more patient. I'm going to say a cuss word, to teach you how to be submissive. And submission is not dictatorship. God tells you to submit because he's telling you to submit to something that wants what's best for you. Amen. One man's disobedience and rebellion brought curse and calamity to all of humanity. One man's obedience and submission brought blessings to all of humanity. So the submission I'm talking about is the submission to God that we see through Jesus. So number two, to become vessels of new wine, we have to stop avoiding conflict. We think by running from conflict, we actually eliminated the problem. But in all actuality, you perpetuate the problem. It gets bigger because issues unresolved will show up in your purpose or destiny later, and that can hurt your purpose and destiny. If you don't deal with the spirit of lust, you get married, God is using you, and you never dealt with it. You avoided it. You act like it didn't exist. Now you have something that my pastor always talks about, collateral damage. See, before you was in a leadership position, you only hurt your family. But now that you're in a leadership position, not only do you hurt your family, you hurt all of those who are following you as well. And I'm not just talking about relational conflict. I'm talking about inner conflict. The desires that we know that shouldn't be there. The habits that we know. Why should we wave the white flag on our challenges when God has given us victory over every challenge? It means that we just don't want to face it because somewhere in our finite mind, we think by facing it, God will magically make it go away. But nothing you don't face will ever go away. It would always come back, and sometimes it comes back harder than what you can handle. I heard Bill Johnson said this, that if you run from the battles that you are equipped to face, you'll face battles that you will be unequipped to face. I'll say that again. If you run from the battles that you were born to face, you'll face battles that you were never born to face. We don't need to run from battles. We need to pursue the battles that are ahead of us so that we can conquer the land that God has for us. So we see in Abraham, check this out, Genesis 13, 8 through 9. It says, so Abraham said to Lot, please let there be no strife. He's not running from conflict. He's actually pursuing it. Because Abraham and Lot, that strife started happening within their camp. And he was being enlarged, Lot was being enlarged, and Abraham was like, look, I'm not going to act like it doesn't exist. I'm not going to act like there's not a problem. Let me face this problem head on. And I want you to pay attention to what God did after he faced it. And it says right here, so Abraham said to Lot, please let there be no strife between you and me and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen. Because strife, check this out, strife is the spirit that can paralyze all the giftings of God. Because it's the spirit of love that keeps us connected to the source of the prophetic, the words of knowledge. So when strife comes in, it begins to contaminate all the gifts of God. This is why strife, the Bible said where there's division, where there's competition, where there's strife, there's every evil work, and it's devilish and it's demonical. But it shows up in like, no, it's not that bad. It is that bad. It will rob you of your purpose. For we are brethren is not the whole land before you. Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I will go to the right. Or if you to the right, then I will go to the left. And then go with me to verse 14. And the Lord said, who said? So God is speaking. Notice that God spoke the moment Abraham dealt with the conflict. So we're waiting on answers from God, and God is waiting on you to pursue the conflict that you need to face. Because here it is, the answer is in the pursuing of conflict. God will begin to reveal your next step, reveal why this relationship shouldn't work out. And in pursuing conflict, let me just say something. This is my counselor side stepping in. Don't think you always need closure, because closure can be a trap. Here it is. Sometimes because of our bad choices that created a consequence. The consequence is we don't get closure because God gave us the revelation of why we shouldn't have been in that situation in the first place. So the fact that we don't get closure sometimes is the scar that we need. So when another relationship comes, we never get to that place again. And we learn from that mistake. So sometimes I've seen relationships, people seek for closure and never got it and stayed in a season longer our relationship than they needed to stay in because they were waiting on a closure, waiting on someone to say something. And I always say this, if you're in a relationship, you don't got to wait on someone saying it's over. Just watch their actions and watch their patterns. Let that speak louder than their words. Because someone can say it's not over, but in their actions and patterns, it's over, but saying it's not. And then someone can be on the opposite end, and you think it's over, but their actions and patterns is saying it's not. So you got to, it's a complex situation, and don't always pursue closure. Let the closure you need come from God in your closet time with Him. So, and the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are. So we see Abraham is now being spoken to by God. Number three, what we need to do in becoming new wineskins, we need to prepare for what we're believing for. Noah built an ark before there was rain. He built an ark in a time that nobody even knew what a boat was. No one even heard of a boat, nor even, I don't even think rain was even happening at that time, because when the curse came, what used to mystify the garden went away, so rain wasn't even a concept that I don't think was introduced into that time span. But God was able to pour new wineskin. We see new wineskin happening with Noah, and this is before Jesus came. So we see snippets of God pouring new wineskins in individual leaders because they were willing to accept the ridiculous. I heard T.D. Jakes said the ridiculous oftentimes is tied to the miraculous. Sometimes God will tell you to do something that's ridiculous, but it will lead to something that's miraculous. Amen? So we see Noah is preparing for what he's believing for. The highest form of faith is preparation. If you have faith, you'll prepare for what you're believing for. If you're believing for marriage, you're preparing yourself in singleness. If you're believing to be an entrepreneur, maybe you should prepare to get out of debt. If you're believing for a business, maybe you should steward yourself well as an employee, because God is teaching you things in the season before you get there, but you're getting prepared and you're getting the character and you're getting the nutrients so that when you finally get it, you can sustain with it. You can sustain it. Amen? Number four, stay with me. I got a few more points. We have to evaluate where we need to upgrade. Which means if God is calling me into a life of upgrade and aligning myself up with people who can help me get to my next level, this means I have to say some hard yeses and some painful no's. I have to say yes to what's await me and go through the challenges of learning new things. So for me, just a little bit about myself, I never knew I was going to be called to preach. My parents never just say, hey, God told me that you're going to be a preacher. That wasn't in my lineage. I thought I was going to be a club promoter and a real estate agent. Seriously. And then through change of events happening, I began to like make bad decisions, which led me into jail, which eventually led me into prison, where I was facing 4 years in San Quentin prison and what I thought was an end. Because I'm at this place where I'm like, man, my life is over. I feel God is telling me to tell you this. Some of you think that in the end that you're in, you think your life is over. But it's actually God squeezing you because you couldn't make the decision to end things. Life squeezed you into a situation to where He can end it for you to activate a new beginning in you. That's a God that we love. Oh, please believe God spoke to my parents, spoke to my siblings about my lifestyle. I was like, you need to change it up. And I didn't want to listen. New wine was showing through them. They were telling me. But for whatever reason, I was still hard-headed. And I put myself in a situation where life squeezed me to the degree where I am in a cell facing so many years, and I turned my cell into my sanctuary, and I began to allow the Lord to speak to me, and in that moment, new wine, and I became a new wineskin, and He gave me a prophetic dream, and He showed me in my dream that I will be preaching and ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ, but it took me to be at a place that I was broken, and it took me to come to an unexpected end, which activated a new beginning, and I believe some of you guys, you didn't make the decision to end things, so life is squeezing you a little bit to end it for you, but stay steadfast. Don't give up. Do not get weary. God is going to activate some new things in your life if you trust Him. Number five, we have to embrace new relationships, meaning I cannot be a worm that eats off one leaf. I have to now consider being a person that cross-pollinates. Cross-pollinization, meaning I'm interacting with people who don't look, act, even sometimes have the same values, because God needs to show me new things through people that I'm not used to being around. And this is the call that's on this ministry. It's a multicultural ministry, which means we always have to be in a constant place of embracing new ways of how people want to approach worshiping God. And unity and newness and all of that, it's not uniformity. Unity is when everybody in their individuality can express the same God you love, and in that brings unity. But when I tell you it has to look this way, we got to do it that way, I do believe in structure, I do believe in order, but when we get so rigid with unity where it looks uniformed, then we are not allowing the individual expressions of each person to reflect the beauty of God. Because all of Revelation is a testament to God, and God loves colors, God loves different things, and we see it in nature, we see it in colors. So when it comes to us as Christians, sometimes when people don't look or act or do things that we want them to do, it scares us. So we try to control it and say we need to be unified. Really what it is, you're scared. Here it is. And you know why we get scared? Because we believe sometimes when people have other options other than you, you will no longer be an option. Oh, Jesus, who was that for? Do you not think God is big enough to have you as an option, your brother as an option, your sister as an option, your fellow Christians as an option? That is the wrong mentality. If I'm a good preacher in Sacramento and other ones come, great. We need that, because the world and what God has for us, we need unity. We don't need disunity. So whether someone can do something better or not, and if they can do something better, we need to be humble and say, can I learn from you? Amen. Here it is. Earth is not lacking in what we need. Earth is lacking in submission to the people who have it in the individual callings on their lives. Oh, Jesus. I'm not going to stay there. I got to keep going. Number six, and we can come up, minister a little soft worship. I didn't take your mic this time, so you can sing softly. Number six is we have to allow life situations to squeeze the best out of us, not the worst out of us. Life will squeeze you, and you have to allow what squeezes you to now cause you to go deep within the truth, the word. And if you don't have these things, you can get it today. We need to pull from that and take on a new form, because it is impossible to go to destiny if you're still in the form of what you were yesterday. Destiny requires you to take a new form. I think it was in John 12 where Jesus told the disciples, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a grain of wheat falleth to the ground and die, it dieth alone. But if it die, it bears much fruit. And ultimately, what Jesus was saying is, if I die, I take on a new form and harvest happens to humanity. But if I never die and I stay the same, although I'm doing great things, Jesus was doing great things on the level of his life where he was alive, but there was a greater work, a greater thing that he wanted to do in his death. His death brought life to many. Your death to your habits, to your mindsets, to your traditions will bring life to many. But you got to get to a place to where you're willing to be pliable, where God can use you. If Jesus never died the death of the cross and died in old age, the Spirit of God would have been limited to one person, Jesus. But because he died, the Spirit of God came on all of us. So therefore, we can all represent Jesus and do the greater works. 2 Corinthians says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessel, and I'm almost done. Stay with me. That the excellence of the power may be of God and out of us. Again, life has to squeeze the best out of you. Look what the scripture says. We are hard pressed on every side. We feel the pressure of finances, the pressure of age, the pressure of now I need to become an adult, the pressure of responsibilities. We feel it, and that's a good thing. We are hard-pressed on every side, but yet not crushed, meaning God won't allow pressure to crush you. Pressure is to develop you for purpose. We are perplexed, but not in despair, meaning that we may have seasons of confusion, but not to the degree that we'll be confused about our sexuality, our spirituality, and who we are in God. When that level of confusion comes, that's not the Lord, that's the enemy. Because God says we may be perplexed, but we won't be despaired. We won't be disillusioned. We won't be confused to the degree where we can't see truth. But not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Struck down. See, when I went to prison, I felt struck down, but I wasn't forsaken. God was speaking loudly in my life, so many warning signs, I just would not listen. And God allowed me to be in that situation, that cell, where I started to read my Bible, and I began to be mad at myself because everything that I wanted was in the promises of the Word of God. And I used to read the Bible as a book of rules, a book of do's and don'ts. But in jail is where I fell in love with God and began to see that His Bible is a divine love letter about a king, his kids, and his kingdom. And this love letter, He wrote it to me about being reconciled and stop acting like an orphan and step into my rightful inheritance and start acting like a child of God. But it took me at that perplexed, but not in despair. It took me in that crushed place. And I'm here to tell you, if you're in a crushed place, it's not a bad place. Because if Jesus is your only option, you have the best option. And too many times when we have a lot of options, including Jesus, we don't choose Him sometimes. This is why God says it's hard for a rich man to make it, because he has all these options. And money is important. Money is a defense. But money cannot give you success to the degree that's in the kingdom of God. And I'm here to tell you, if you've been perplexed, if you've been in despair, if you've been challenged, God has a plan for this situation, but I've learned that you can expedite it based on your surrender. So my 4 years got expedited to 1 year, and that 1 year got expedited to only doing 4 months, and that 4 months allowed me to do the rest of my time in county jail. And if you've ever been in San Quentin, I dodged a bullet on that one. But I believe those 4 years got expedited to only 1 year because I said in my cell, God, I know I said this prayer many times, if you get me out of this, I'll serve you, but I mean it this time. If you help me out of this situation, I'll serve you. And He believed me, and I believed myself. And God gave me a divine intervention. And I believe some of you guys are at that place where you need to say that prayer to God. God, I've asked you for help. And when you did it, I still left. I still didn't come to you. And you who are burdened and have heavy loads, God is saying, come to Him. His burden is light. His yoke is easy. You may be in an uncomfortable situation, but that is the best situation, because the foolishness of the world is the wisdom of God. And it may not be wise to say, you know what? Even though I'm at my lowest, I am at my best. But it is the truth. When you are at your lowest, you have the potential to be at your highest. Because when you think you are high, you are really at a place to where you're about to get low. And then my last point, number 7, I want us to stop fighting to be the same. We use so much energy to stay the same, so much energy to control, to protect our anger, to protect our manipulations, to protect our insecurities, our self-esteem issues, our inferiority complexes. We fight so hard to hide, to protect what we don't want people to see, but it's in vulnerability that God sees and He heals. The woman with the issue of blood, I share this with my leadership all the time. The woman with the issue of blood, she was in a situation where Jesus said that people were touching Him, but it was something about when she touched Jesus, apart from everybody else, virtue came from Him to her. Because I believe when she touched Jesus, she touched Him with vulnerability. She touched Him with openness. She was willing to be stoned because she was ceremonially unclean, which means if the proper religious leader saw her, she could have been stoned. But sometimes you got to be willing to be stoned by people to be healed by Jesus. God will bring you in a situation where you may be stoned. Yeah, you may get talked about. Yeah, did you see that person who just got that divorce? Yeah, they just went bankrupt. All these bad things are happening. So what? Still come to Jesus, because while they are casting stones at you, they are preparing themselves to be judged themselves. And you just need to stay humble. You need to love them. Don't respond in anger. Yes, I am going through all of this, but like the woman with the issue of blood, I'm just trying to touch Jesus. I just need Jesus. And I want to close on, stop fighting to be the same and use that energy to fight to change. Two lives can't exist in one body. Either the life of Christ or you're going to exist. If not, there's going to be this conflict. And we see with Jacob that his name wasn't even his real name that God gave him. Jacob means he was a con artist. He was a deceiver, but Israel lived inside of him. But Jacob was in the way of Israel coming out of him. So he got to this place where he wrestled with the angel of God. And in the first wrestling match, He wrestled to stay the same. But somewhere in the passage, you see him now saying, I won't let you go till you bless me. Meaning he took the energy to stay the same and shifted to now change. But before he changed, you see the angel touched his hip. And that hip, your hip, you need it to support, to walk. And it's prophetic reason, or there's a prophetic meaning to that, that the reason why the angel of God touched his hip and didn't heal it after he got blessed is because God wanted Jacob to learn how to walk in new rhythms. God wanted him to learn how to walk in a new way that he wasn't used to having support on his own. Now he needed God to support him. I'm not saying God is touching your hip physically, but he may be touching your finances. He may be touching things of your life, and it's not that he's doing it, but he's allowing it to happen so that you don't be solely supported on that, and you can run to him and make him the support that you need, and from him, everything else will work itself out. So we're closing. I want to pray and do a call to action. If you're in here today, and you know the Lord wants to give you a new rhythm, you need a new beginning. You need new wineskins. You need new wine. You're tired of repeating cycles. You're tired of repeating seasons. You're getting older, but you're not coming out of the seasons. And when you get older and you don't step into purpose, your best energy begins to deplete. And I believe not only will God want to renew that young person, but I feel that the Lord wants to put a Caleb anointing on someone seasoned. Although you may be this age, God allowed Caleb to be as if he was 40 years younger to go into the promised land. God can restore your strength. When you have new wine, it brings restoration, renewal, repentance, and all of these different things. But you have to acknowledge that you need him. You got to admit the anger. You got to acknowledge that you're in perpetual cycles that have not changed. So if you're in here and you need that new wine, you need a new rhythm, you need that fresh touch of God, I want you to do something for me. Just raise your hand. And all those that are raising their hand, just stand up. Stand up as a declaration of I need Jesus. Stand up like the woman with the issue of blood as she made herself vulnerable to come to Jesus. Stand up saying, God, I will confess you before man so you can confess me before my Heavenly Father. I believe there's some new things that the Lord wants to do in real life. Some new things that God is going to use real life church to do something powerful in the city of Sacramento and in the region of Sacramento. But it's going to start with you being the wineskin to receive the strategies, receive the insight, receive the renewing of the mind. And we're declaring an end to cycles of defeat. We're declaring an end to bondage. We declare freedom. You think about freedom is you got to fight to keep it. Bondage, you don't got to fight at all. You just do nothing. And God is calling you out of bondage and calling you into freedom. But freedom, you have to fight for it. And I pray a Joshua's anointing on everyone in here, that you would know how to go and possess the land, and you will keep the accursed things out of your house so God can do the new thing in your house. So raise your hand up. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just pray fresh wind and new wine upon every person in here, Lord. I pray that you bring the new wineskins and the new wine in their marriages, in their business, in their children's life. God, I pray that you will remove every illusion of stability to bondage. I pray, Father, where bondage has become attractive, you will reveal the truth about it, Lord. We come against the spirit of deception. Lord, we will not be like the children of Israel and asked to go back to Egypt, but we will pursue our God who will bring water from a rock, who will be a cloud by day and fire by night. Lord, we will trust in his supernatural provisions, and we will not covet what's around us because we know everything we need is in us or in us. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you break the cycles right now. Break the generation curses. We thank you for necessary endings happening, Lord. We thank you for new wine, Lord. New things happening right now in the name of Jesus, Father. Give them the clarity. Give them the insight. Give them the plan. And repeat this after me. Let's make this declaration of faith and seal it. Say, God. Say it like you mean it. Say, God, I believe your heart for me is to be a new wineskin so you can pour new wine into me. I repent where my wineskins have become old. Renew me, God. Give me the capacity to move where you move, to speak what you speak, to say and lead how you say and lead. And I receive that right now. Just receive it right now in the name of Jesus. Begin to thank him right now. Praise him for it. Begin to bless his name. Make your shout of victory right now. Begin to rejoice. Thank you, God, for new wine. Thank you for a new marriage. Thank you for new opportunities, new situations.